I can't tell you how thankful I am to be here with all of you this morning. It's just so good to be in the house of the Lord with you. So, I don't know about you, but I love music, especially being in the house of the Lord this morning with the music just fills my heart so much. I've loved music all my life. As a small child, my brother Jeff played guitar, and he would sing John Denver songs, so much to the point that now when I hear John Denver playing his music, it sounds weird to me. But they were such great times. My dad loved music, and we would sit around and sing. It's some of the best memories. It was back in the 70s, and there were some pretty hilarious songs back then. There was a song called The Chogladites. I don't know if any of you remember that one. There was also a song called The Streak by Ray Stevens, because there was this problem going around called The Streaking, and that was a really hilarious song. But there were also some very beautiful ballads back in the 70s. I can't forget all the love songs written by The Carpenters, Barry Manilow, Bread, and some Fun in the Sun songs like by the Beach Boys. Just recently, I started taking guitar lessons. I'm having so much fun with that. I'm nowhere near getting ready to do family get-togethers for singing, but that has caused me to love music even more. When I got a different car a few months ago, there was Sirius XM radio in the car. And so I get to listen to all of the old songs like On 70s on 7 and Bread and the Blend and the Bridge. Those three are my favorite. And it really brings me back to reminiscing about my childhood and a lot of love that I felt during that time with my family. One particular evening, I was driving in the car, I don't remember what, and I was listening, and the announcer said on the radio, he said, when Barry Manilow was asked to sing the song, I Write the Songs, he's like, I'm not singing that. That sounds really arrogant. I am not singing that song. Well, then, the actual writer of that song was a gentleman by the name of Bruce Johnston, contacted Barry Manilow and told him, he said, when I wrote that song, he said, I never intended it to be a person. The I in that song is God. And I was like, what? I'm hearing God on secular radio? That's really cool. But it really inspired me for this message. Before I get into it too much, let's just stop right now and let's just offer up a word of prayer. Oh, Father, you're so amazing. You made music. What a beautiful thing. I think sometimes we don't even really realize how amazing you are. And the concept of music really never hit me so hard until I really thought about how you created music. And why did you create music? For the simple reason of enjoyment, for us, to fill us with love and joy and peace. But Lord, you took me even deeper with this message of what your plan was in music. And so I just pray for everyone here this morning. I hope this message blesses their heart. It sure did bless mine when you were speaking through my heart to show me. And Lord, I just pray for those that may hear this message later on on the radio. Father, I just pray that it would open their eyes wide to see you in a different way of who you are. We ask this all of this, Jesus, in your name. Amen. Amen. So, I'm going to read the lyrics of I Write the Song to you. And as I read them, I just want you to kind of think about Barry Johnston's heart as God obviously put this song on his heart to write it. It says, "I've been alive forever. And I wrote the very first song. I put the words and the melody together. I am music, and I write the songs. I write the songs that make the whole world sing. I write the songs of love and special things. I write the songs that make the young girls cry. I write the songs. I write the songs. My home lies deep within you, and I've got my own place in your soul. Now, when I look out through your eyes, I am young again, even though I'm very old. I write the songs that make the whole world sing. I write the songs of love and special things. I write the songs that make the young girls cry. I write the songs. I write the songs. Oh, my music makes you dance. It gives your spirit to take a chance. And I wrote some rock and roll so you could move. Music fills your heart. Well, that's a real fine place to start. It's for me. It's for you. It's for you. It's for me. It's a worldwide symphony. I write the songs that make the whole world sing. I write the songs of love and special things. I write the songs that make the young girls cry. I write the songs. I write the songs." Like I mentioned before in the beginning, I have always loved music. And God has used music to reveal himself to me in so many powerful ways. There's a verse in Psalm 32:7 that speaks directly to my heart. "You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble. You surround me with songs of deliverance." This morning, I would like to just take a moment and consider how God, our wonderful creative creator, has used music as a very powerful avenue for his people. He has been writing songs of deliverance for every generation that has walked on this planet. Even new songs that we haven't even heard yet are stirring in the hearts of the creators that he's using. Just take a moment and think about some of the songs that God has used to impact you in your life. In Psalm 32:7, we see David leaning heavily on the songs of deliverance to protect him. We don't know what the song was that David was referring to, but David did, and you can bet it was playing in his heart and mind at that moment. David was a shepherd before he became a warrior or a king. And David was a skilled harpist, and he would use that skill by singing and playing for his sheep. And this would keep them calm in the evening. The confidence that David developed was born out of God's protection over him in those fields, and also the victory of defeating lions and bears that came to devour, those very things he was protecting. When it came to facing the giant Goliath, David proclaims in 1 Samuel 17:37, "The Lord will deliver me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear. He delivered me. He will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." I'd say David had confidence in the delivering power of God. His brother, he was embarrassed because he did not like David being so proud and arrogant. But it wasn't arrogance, it was confidence. The slaying of the giant Goliath catapulted David into service for the king, Saul, who initially, he was really impressed with David and his skills as a warrior, but he soon became very jealous of David because of a chant some women were singing to their warriors coming back from battle. Saul has slain the thousands, but David the 10,000s. At this point, Saul had lost favor with God as king, and things were not going well for him. One night, Saul employed David to sing and play the harp for him to calm his tortured soul. But thankfully, the songs of deliverance that he was singing to calm Saul saved him instead, as Saul threw a spear at David, hoping to pin him to the wall. You can read the whole story in 1 Samuel 19, the verses 1-10. Another example in Scripture where we see God using music as a weapon of defense is found in 2 Chronicles 20, 2-4. And I didn't get all these verses together, and I apologize. But it just, you're just going to have to relax this morning and sit and listen to me talk. Anyways, in 2 Chronicles, the story is about a king named Jehoshaphat, and he was the king of Judah. He was told by his army advisors that two very large armies were advancing on him from either direction. Alarmed by that news, Jehoshaphat inquired of the Lord and proclaimed a fast for all of Judah. So all the people in Judah gathered together from every town to inquire of the Lord. Verse 12 and 13 is what the king said to the people. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. All the men of Judah, with their wives and their children and their little ones, stood there before the Lord. Can you imagine? Isn't that just a great picture? I mean, it wasn't just the men standing out there. It was everybody. It was everybody. I can hear babies crying. I can little, mom, can't you just hear it? It's such a beautiful picture of unity. In verse 14, the Spirit of the Lord fell on a man by the name of, and I'm going to probably murder his name, so hang on here. Yahizel, okay, was his name, Yahizel, son of Lala, which I'm not going to, I cannot say. So I just said son of Lala, son of Lala, son of Lala, son of Lala, and a few more times. And they were all descendants of Asaph. Now that's a name I know. Asaph was a writer of music. Isn't that interesting? Yes, the word of the Lord came on Yahazel. Don't be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for this battle is not yours, it's God's. On verse 21 and 24, we find King Jehoshaphat preparing his men for battle in the morning. Who does he put out in the front? The choir. The men are singing ahead of the army. As they were singing to the Lord, an ambush came against the two advancing armies. When Judah got to the high point of where they were looking down onto the battlefield, all they saw were dead bodies all over the ground. Not one had escaped. Now that's a powerful deliverance tool. Tune. Not tool, tool and tune, but what a powerful deliverance tune, wouldn't you say? One more example of deliverance, we probably all know this one, is found in Acts 16:16-34. It's an account in the Bible of Paul and Silas. And when they delivered this young girl who was a slave, and she was able to predict the future. She had been following Paul and Silas around all week, shouting prophecies about them, and they were getting really annoyed. It's really annoying. When all of a sudden, Paul turns around and says, "In the name of Jesus, that spirit, come out of her." And of course, it happened. Well, the owners of that girl, unfortunately, were very angry because their nice, cushy little income was all of a sudden gone. So they had Paul and Silas arrested. They were stripped and beaten publicly. And after they were beaten, they were put in the stocks in prison, in the inner cell. The Bible says that while they were in prison with their feet in the stocks, they were singing and praising hymns to God. When all of a sudden, just a minute, right about midnight, all of a sudden a mighty earthquake struck the jail and all the prisoners were freed. Now that's a midnight hour deliverance, huh? Yeah, we serve a mighty God and a creative God who has given us such a beautiful thing to enjoy, like music. Like I mentioned before, God has used music in my life in so many ways to show me who he is, to have me feel the love he has for me. And he has been able to disarm me in ways that nothing else ever could or ever will be able to through his music. I remember the winter of 96-97. For those of you who are too young to remember or were not born yet, it was a winter of 124 inches of snow. Roads were closed, schools were basically out of commission, and everyone was just hunkering down for the next storm to hit. Well, that winter, was extremely difficult for me for other reasons, not just the weather. My mom had had open heart surgery on October 31st. Yeah, what a dumb day to have a surgery. My goodness. But anyways, she ended up having a stroke during the surgery. It was open heart surgery. Did I mention that? Yeah. And so she was in the hospital a long time. And then she ended up in a long-term care facility that I felt was less than optimal for her. She was 3 hours away, which in any normal time, 3 hours is not a big deal. But in that time, 3 hours may as well have been 300 miles because the winter was just so bad. I had little kids at home, and it blizzarded almost every day. I had recently got a member to RCA Music Club. I don't know if any of you remember that, but this is how it worked. You bought 12 CDs for 1 cent, and then you had to buy 5 more at full price. Well, that wasn't a problem for me. So it was right at the height of contemporary Christian music, and I absolutely loved it. Well, at that particular winter, I had become familiar with an artist by the name of Ray Bolz. I don't know if any of you remember him. And the song that really spoke to me was a song called "The Anchor Holds." I'm going to read the lyrics to you, save you the torture of me singing, but just sit back and listen. I have journeyed through the long dark night, out on the open sea, by faith alone, sight unknown, and yet his eyes were watching me. The anchor holds, though the ship is battered. The anchor holds, though the sails are torn. I have fallen on my knees as I face the raging seas. The anchor holds in spite of the storm. I've had visions and I've had dreams and I've even held them in my hand, but I never knew they would slip right through like they were only grains of sand. The anchor holds, though the sails are torn. The anchor holds The anchor holds, though the ship is battered. The anchor holds, though the sails are torn. I have fallen on my knees as I faced the raging seas. The anchor holds in spite of the storm. I've been young, but I'm older now, and there have been beauty these eyes have seen. But it was in the night, through the storms of my life, oh, that's where God proved his love to me. The anchor holds, though the ship is battered. The anchor holds, though these sails are torn. I have fallen on my knees as I faced the raging seas. The anchor holds in spite of the storm. I would find myself face down on the floor of my bedroom, and God would speak to me through that song. I would hear the storms raging outside around me, but the anchor holds. Yes, in that moment, I was that ship being tossed by the raging seas. And he, Jesus, was the anchor holding me fast. Sometime later, someone wrote a song with lyrics that said, "Sometimes God calms the storm, and sometimes he calms me." The storms raged on that winter, but calmed briefly for just long enough for us to bury my dear mama on February 20th, 1997. But the truth of that song still stands. He will never let us go. I know many of you have heard me talk about KCGN, Praise Live, Praise FM, all the same radio station, but it's so awesome. We would have that radio station playing constantly in our home during some tumultuous years when we were raising our family and dealing with many of our family's deaths. We had quite a few deaths in our family from the years of 2001 to 2005. Both Joe and I lost multiple siblings, all under the age of, in their 50s, one as young as 35. Praise FM was on upstairs and downstairs in our house, so I could hear it everywhere in my house, no matter where I was. That was before the days of Alexa. I'm sorry. Anyways, I called the music my spiritual warfare. You know, Satan hates family and marriage, and having family and a good marriage is still on assault today. But Satan cannot stay in a place where God's name is being praised and exalted. I remember many quiet times where I would be praying and the phone would start ringing. This was a phone on the wall now, mind you. And I would have to get up to go answer it, and nobody would be there. This is just one of the many ways that Satan would try to distract me and keep me from doing my quiet time. Speaking of phones, yep, they're quite the distraction. And now we don't even have to get up because they're right there. Mm-hmm. But our phones can also be used for good because they're right there. You can always access good music. That's the thing. We don't even need to plug in CDs anymore. Playlists, right there. Good teaching online, right there. In fact, this message and all the messages that we give here at Calvary can be found online on our Calvary website. Ephesians 6:12 says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces in the heavenly realms." How do we defeat this struggle? By putting on God's armor, covering our minds and our hearts, and taking a stand against evil with all kinds of prayers in all kinds of occasions. Something I find really interesting is that the radio waves and the airwaves that music goes out on is in the heavenly realms. And believe me, there is a battle going on. Just recently, I found a new artist. Probably not new, but new to me. His name is Phil Wickham. His parents were contemporary Christian artists back in the 90s, so he grew up in the thick of it. We do sing a few of his songs here at Calvary, Hymn of Heaven, This is Our God, and The Battle Belongs to You. If you're not familiar with his music, I highly recommend him. How I came to learn about Phil Wickham was a few weeks before I had my knee surgery. I would wake up every morning with this song in my head. It was called, There's Joy in the House of the Lord, in my head. I really had no idea who it was, so I had to look him up on Google. It was so interesting because this song is talking about the joy of the house of the Lord, and we're not going to be quiet. We're going to shout out his praise. I can't think about joy without thinking about joy of the Lord as our strength. And I'm telling you, you know, that after that knee surgery, you're going to need strength because it's a journey. So I'm just going to read you these lyrics because they're just so cool. We worship the God who is. We worship the God who was. We worship the God who evermore will be. He has opened the prison doors. He parted the raging sea. My God holds the victory. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out his praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. And we won't be quiet. We shout out his praise. We sing to the God who heals. We sing to the God who saves. We sing to the God who always makes a way. Because he hung upon that cross, then he rose up from that grave. My God is still rolling stones away. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out his praise. We were beggars, but now we're royalty. We were prisoners, but now we're running free. We are forgiven, accepted, and redeemed by his grace. Let the house of the Lord sing praise. Isn't that a beautiful song? I sang that a lot, I'm telling you, during my knee replacement. Yeah, it still gives me just a lot of joy in my heart. So do you remember how I had mentioned in the Barry Manilow song, I write the songs that make the young girl cry? I've been doing pretty good this morning. I didn't have my emotional water bottle up here, but Joe said to me, you know, if you start to choke up, Shell, just take a drink of water. I thought that was such great advice, but thank you, Jesus, for not letting me cry. Because sometimes once I get going, it's really hard to stop, but yeah. Anyways, so in Barry Manilow's song, he said, I write the songs that make the young girls cry. Well, this morning, I'd like to sing a song with you. It's going to be our final hymn, and it's called Sunday's Coming. And the reason I bring it up is because this song has brought me to tears multiple times when it talks about how Jesus is the lamb that was silent as he went to the cross. He didn't open up his mouth. He didn't say a word. He just went right to it. I'd have been kicking and screaming. I don't know about you guys, but yeah, that really, really touches me. Anyways, so I would like to sing that song together. The words and stuff are going to be up on the monitor, and then I'll come back and close this in prayer.
Great light dawns in Galilee. Some say madman, some say king. walking rebel priest. Jesus Christ the Nazarene. He knew well what it would take to free us all from sin and grave. A perfect man would have to die, and only he could pay that price. Friday's good 'cause Sunday's coming. Don't lose hope 'cause Sunday's coming. Devil, you're done, you better start running. Friday's good 'cause Sunday's coming. So you let those soldiers take you in, as his friend betrayed him with a kiss. And there before the mocking crowd, like a lamb to the slaughter, didn't make a sound. Did he carry that cross to Calvary? And he said, bowed his head, the Son of God, and man was dead. With bloody hands, tears on their face, they laid him down inside that grave. But that wasn't the
alive. I'm so glad. Music is such a great gift from God. I don't know about you. I don't know anybody who doesn't like music. Some people say, well, I don't like that kind of music. But I've never met anyone who says, I don't like music at all. Music is the universal language, and we will all be singing in heaven together one day, a new song that none of us even know yet. Let me just pray, and then I think there's some announcements at the end. Let me just pray for us. Father, you sang creation into existence. You sang around us songs of deliverance every day. You sing over us with joy. I mean, just the references, God, that you try to tell us in your word about music, about how you use music, is so amazing. And I just thank you, God, that you are so creative, and it's so beautiful. Even the birds sing. I mean, I'm in awe of you, Jesus. I'm so in awe of you. Thank you for being with me as I shared this message with people that I love and care about, my family here at Calvary. Lord, I just pray that you would just open our ears to hear music in a new and different way today. And Father, I just pray that anyone listening on the radio that may hear this song, Lord, that you would also help them to hear music in a way that it comes as a gift only from you. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.